Welcome to the Canna Cook Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
And welcome to the Canna Cook Podcast. I'm here with my sweet co-host, Beth Ann Lampley. She is the sparkle and delight around Canna Cook land, co-director of the K-1 Girls Camp. And this is Joe White. And I want to tell you folks, we're recording just at the tail end of a rich and wonderful summer. Beth Ann, this summer has been awe-inspiring. As you know, I get to work out there in teenage land at K2, and it has been so great watching hundreds and hundreds of high school kids stampede the cross. There's a lot we do out there with sports and all kinds of character training, but the best part of all, like it is at K1 where you work, is Crosstalk Night, where every 2 weeks we get to see 400 high school kids attack the cross in a very reverent way. And they get to come to the cross and they get to bring all their burdens and all their mistakes and find the peace, love, and forgiveness of Christ. They'll sit there, Beth Ann, all night if we would let them. We have to make them go to bed, but they'll sit there with arms around each other worshiping and hugging and crying because the love of Christ has consumed them. And the college students are the same as the high school kids, giving the love of Christ. And so today we're going to talk with six bright college students from five different campuses about how on the college campus these young men and young ladies pursue Christ. And you're going to get a window into the heart of Canna Cook land, but you're also going to get a little encouragement in your own faith about how you can pursue Christ ever so faithfully the way our students do.
Well, Joe, we brought our neighbors at K1 over into the studio today from K Country. They get to be my neighbors all summer long. We love getting to see them and do life right alongside them. And so let me tell you who we've brought into the studio today. First up, we've got Delaney O'Shea. She goes to the University of Arkansas. And Joe, not only does she spend her summers hanging out with elementary age kids, but she does that all throughout the year at Fayetteville K-Life. She's a super K volunteer and small group leader, and I wish you could see her right now. She's cheering. She loves it. She loves this age group. So Delaney, thanks for pouring into kids, not just at camp, but all year long with K-Life. And then next to her, Joe, we've got another student athlete. This is Shori Nguyen. She goes to Mary Hardin Baylor, where she is on the softball team. She plays in the outfield. And Joe, she has a batting average of 400, which is just unheard of.
That's phenomenal.
Incredible. And then rounding out this group, we've got Libby Featherton. She is a tri-delt at Texas A&M. And when she's not in class and not planning events for her sorority, she's on the pickleball court. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Yeah, I didn't hear any whoops out there, Aggies. But we're hearing them in the airwaves, I'm sure. And so BA also at K-Country, the men's staff. We have three of their superstars. One of our staff members is named Tommy Harper. Tommy's from Texas A&M. He is a high school football player, does a lot of rec basketball in college. He attends an event weekly at Texas A&M called Breakaway. And Beth Ann, believe it or not, on a college campus, they have between 6,000 and 8,000 Christian kids that gather in Reed Arena on the Texas A&M campus for that Christian gathering. And then Mason Collette from Baylor University, also a high school football player. He was one of the unsung heroes who played in the O-line. And then we have Bennett Olm, big, handsome kid, rides a moped around Georgia campus. He also played basketball in Georgia high school, and he is pretty proud of the Georgia football team. They're not bad.
They're not too bad. They won a few games last year,
Joe. They did pretty good. And so we Aggies wish we could beat them. Beth Ann, we're so excited to be here today because we want to bring a smile to the faces of our listeners as they could get a little glimpse of what over 3,000 staff and volunteers at Canna Cook and Kids Across America bring in the summertime to the camps around Taneycomo and Table Rock Lake. So we're going to find out how these students pursue Christ in their life.
I love it. Well, Delaney, we're going to start with you. You know, everybody here would probably agree, as a college student, you guys are busy, right? If somebody asks you how you are, you're like, I'm busy, right? There's a lot going on. You have a lot of things that you're managing between class and organizations you're a part of, sports and intramurals and all the things. And a lot of them are really good things, a lot of fun things. But Delaney, talk us through, what does it look like for you to build a life around Jesus as a college student and to make him a priority? Because again, so many buy into maybe the lie that they just don't have time, or they're so busy, or class needs to be their number one priority. But what does it look like for you to make Jesus and time with him a priority as a college student?
For sure. I think there's always an area of refinement in that area too, of just, I've been blessed that I've been surrounded by a community of people who also are pursuing the Lord and who do value what he says of us and just get to be faithful servants to him. And so I think that's one of my biggest encouragements as a college student is just, wow, I get to live with people who are running this race with me. And so getting to be in that community of people is really helpful. I also think I've gotten to serve in my church in the kids ministry every Sunday morning, which has been a big blessing to me and just a great reminder of, man, like I love camp so much because I get to be with kids and I get to serve kids. And so getting to have that at school too, I think just teaches me a lot about what joy looks like and what genuine love looks like. So getting to be surrounded by kids too, as much as I can, whether that be at church or through K-Life, will always be something I find really important. I also love my small group. We've been the same. This is going to be my senior year, so 4 years now. We've meet every Thursday night. So I think having the consistency of those people too and holding each other accountable of the set firm date of a Thursday night and what that looks like and just getting to spend intentional time together. And through that, I met my mentor. So having my mentor and meeting with her once a week too is definitely something that encourages me and refines me of like, okay, this is like, I love the Lord, and how am I getting to live my life in a way that honors that and just gets to push me and those around me towards him and what that looks like.
Thank you. So Tommy, being on a secular campus with 65,000 students, everybody gets a picture of college life when they look at the news at spring break. And you get the idea as you watch the newscasts of spring break on Daytona Beach and other beaches in Florida and California and Mexico, that all college students are drunkards, that all college students are decadent, that students live their lives for partying. And yet, Beth Ann and I see something distinctively different from the several thousand college staff we get to work with. Tommy, for you, how do you live a life that's distinctly different from the party, drinking, bar hopping life that we see on television?
Well, there definitely is a partying, drinking, and it's everywhere on any college campus you go to. I think the biggest thing that helps me is just the community and church and friends, finding people who love Jesus and know that satisfaction isn't in this world. To walk alongside you and encourage you that that's not where satisfaction comes from. That's not where joy comes from. And it can just lead into conversations and invitations to church to people who are in the partying and drinking culture. Just the biggest thing is encouragement from other people alongside you. I just had friends who have been partying, and it's just an encouragement to like simply invite them to church, invite them to break away, like you were saying, several thousand people. It can be like just casual conversation that leads to life change. I'll say just the community of believers around you is the biggest encouragement I can have.
Well, Shori, I am interested to hear from you. You are a student athlete at Mary Harden Baylor. You're on the softball team. And so I would imagine that as a student and an athlete, your life has to be pretty disciplined and you've got to have a plan. And how maybe have the disciplines that you've learned as an athlete translated into your spiritual life and your walk with Christ? How has that influenced your faith?
Oh, it has definitely influenced my faith. I think just knowing how important consistency is and just that I have to continue to grow in softball and also like in my walk with Jesus, and relating it back to sometimes we need to suffer to grow was a really big lesson that softball has taught me. So just knowing that I'm strengthening myself with my walk with Jesus so that I can go to my team, have a ministry there. It's important just that softball, it's really easy for that to become our life. And it's really easy for us to put our identity in that. And I've had multiple conversations with a few of my teammates about that our identity should be found in Jesus because we ultimately need him. And I've just learned to depend on him in the hard times when we're running for days, it feels like, just to say a quick prayer and just know that Jesus is going to walk with me through all of it, softball, life, and everything.
You know, one other question, you know, you're on a team. And so I would think that there are a lot of different, you know, stories represented on that team, lots of different backgrounds. How are you growing in your boldness in talking about Jesus to your teammates? Because I'm sure that can be intimidating or scary, or you may, you know, wonder, what will they think? How might their opinion change of me if I bring up Jesus? But how are you navigating, you know, not just living out your faith, but actually using your words and bringing up Jesus into conversations with teammates?
It definitely can be intimidating, especially I was a freshman this past year, so I was kind of at the bottom of the chain. But I learned that just we have Bible studies with my team, and the people that are there, they truly want to learn more about Jesus. They might be coming in knowing nothing. So just being bold in how I speak about Jesus and ultimately showing my joy, they'll see that something's different about me, and hopefully that leads into a conversation about Jesus.
Mason, I am a Baylor fan. It is a great campus, and I think it gets better all the time. But Mason, I know that everybody's not a Christian at Baylor, even though there are a lot of students who are, and there's some great churches. But a student has to choose at Baylor, just like a student has to choose everywhere else. Why do you choose Christ, and how do you continue to grow in your Christian faith at Baylor?
Part of the beauty of going to Baylor is just the community that it brings. I came to Baylor at first not actually being a Christian at all. I didn't know the Lord even just a little bit, but being encouraged and pushed by the people around me is actually at Baylor are the reason that I follow the Lord now. And so I actually, yeah, you mentioned that there's a lot of Christians at Baylor, and I think it's very encouraging to be in a place where the average person's actually going to be pouring life into you rather than pouring evil or spilling corruption. A verse I really get out of just being at Baylor is Galatians 6:8 says, "For he who sows of his flesh will from his flesh reap corruption, but he who sows the Spirit reaps eternal life." And I feel like majority of the people at Baylor are speaking life into me and reaping of that eternal life. And that has poured so much life into me. Going along with that community, with all the big churches around, I think it's just so encouraging to see other people walking in the Lord. Encourages me to also just pour out life into other people and step out into boldness with them as well. So,
what are some of the disciplines, daily disciplines that you have to grow in your faith, Mason?
I think the biggest discipline is just getting up in the morning before class, before whatever it is I'm doing. It's so important to just meditate on the word. And if you can get in the word in the morning, it gives you the entire day to just meditate on the word. That doesn't mean that reading at night's bad or going out throughout the day with prayer. But when you start that day with prayer and you start that day with just the word of God, it sits inside of your soul and it just overflows into other people's lives out of you. And so that's the biggest one. I also had a mentor tell me the three biggest things you need to grow in your faith is have somebody pouring into you, you pouring into somebody else, and the average person that you're walking with is walking with the Lord as well. And so I think at Baylor, it's really easy to surround yourself around other people. It's really hard to find people to pour into, to find the person that's not walking with the Lord, but it's so important to find that person and pour into them. And then also find somebody who's older or more mature in their faith to be pouring into you every single week. And so that's exactly what I've done. My main friend group is all believers, very strong believers that have come from different ministries around Baylor. I'm pouring into people now that are coming into their freshman year, into their sophomore year as a senior. And then I have two guys who have both graduated Baylor in the last 5 years that are pouring into me every single week. And so
everybody needs a Paul. Everybody needs a Timothy, and everybody needs a Barnabas, don't we? I appreciate your good words,
so
buddy.
Good. I'm fired up listening to that, Mason. It's because of other college students like you guys that saw you and invested in you that you're sitting here today and walking with Jesus. And so I think a lot of times we tell ourselves, I don't know that much, or I don't know how to evangelize, but you do. And so that's really encouraging to hear. Okay, Libby, we're coming your direction right now. And you guys, I wish you could see Libby right now. She's just got the most fun smile, and she's just lighting up this room. So you mentioned earlier, you're a tri-del at Texas A&M, which I know is probably so much fun, but there's probably some things that are hard too about being in a sorority. And so talk a little bit, Libby, about what is it like to be in the world but not of the world, and how are you choosing to be light in a place that, although it's fun, there can be some darkness?
Absolutely. I think going to college, for most of us, it's the first time that we are faced with a choice, and it's the first time that we really get to come into our own and be on our own. And so through that becomes a lot of dependence on the Lord, or it brings a lot of dependence on the world. And so getting to join a sorority, I've seen both sides of that. I think that I am lucky that I go to Texas A&M, and I mean, what joy that the Lord has prospered such community there at A&M. But also in my sorority, I've seen amazing community there as well. But it's sweet that I have such a community and even have a mentor in my sorority who I meet with every Friday morning and have been poured into so much. But also, how awesome is it that I also have a mission field that I get to go to A&M and be in my sorority and go to chapter and share a Bible study every chapter on Monday nights, or share in a Bible study in other ways. We call them growth groups in Tridal at A&M that we each get to join. And so we choose a different night or a different morning where we get to meet and go through a book or a book of the Bible together. And so it's sweet that even in something that is considered so secular as a sorority, that we get to come together and be together and praise our God together and just talk about his goodness and his graciousness. And so it's so sweet to be in a sorority and get to have that mission field of, yes, there are people who don't know the Lord and don't love the Lord, but also so many people who do love the Lord so much and are so eager to share in his great commission and share and make disciples and love others well.
That's awesome. How would you say, Libby, how have you found in the times where you have said no to temptation, or you have held to, you know, just walking out a biblical worldview in college, how have you seen God meet you in those places when sometimes it can feel lonely or you're the only one not doing what everybody else is doing?
Absolutely. Actually, in the K Country Kitchen, we have a quote from a lady who is a missionary, and it's called Bent Low. And so it talks about how bent low is where she sees the face of Christ. And so I think even at A&M, in those moments of temptation, in those moments of darkness, you know, God is the same in the dark as he is in the light. And he just meets us where we are at. And he meets us whenever we are bent low, whenever we are at our lowest, he comes to us. And that is such a sweet thing about his redemptive grace, is that we do nothing to deserve it. And I could do all the works in the world, but at the end of the day, it's him who's there for me. And it's him speaking for me on my behalf. And so, so sweet that I, even in my darkest moments in college, that I have a God who cares for me so much, who loves me so much, and is so merciful to meet me where I'm at. Bent Low is where he meets me.
Being in Georgia, it has got to be a tough deal to walk with Christ well. And even in the fraternity life, how do you maintain your daily walk with Jesus? What do you do each day? And what do you do throughout your typical week at Georgia to keep your walk with Christ sharp and foremost in your life?
Yeah, I would say a lot of it was just developing a hunger for God's word. And I think each summer, even getting to come back to camp has been a good reminder of that. And I've just gotten to see that growth develop. And especially after working just a little bit last summer and then getting to go through junior year, I've just been surrounded by guys who I get to hear teach. And I just get to think like, man, he has a love for God's word that I want that. And I want to develop that as well. And so I think just as I've gone on throughout college, just having the discipline of getting up in the morning or making time in my schedule, time in my day to have time in the word with the Lord. And then also similar to what Mason and Tommy said about community, just surrounding myself with guys who are like me, who are pursuing Jesus just like I am, and who I can come to with things, with accountability, and who I can lean on and rely on as well.
You know, you guys, your generation kind of gets a bad rap. I don't know if you've heard that. But the seat that I get to sit in and the one that Joe gets to sit in, we get to watch a generation of young people who are different and who are difference makers, all for the cause of Christ. And so there's a lot of darkness in our world, and we tend to look at that, and that seems to be right in front of our faces the most. But what I get to see is a lot of hope and a lot of light because of young people like you. And so, man, I'm fired up leaving this episode today because I'm reminded that there are college students all across the nation who love Jesus and who are making a difference for him. So we just want to keep cheering you on in that. So with that, let me pray for us and we'll wrap this thing up. God, we thank you just for your redemptive work in each of our lives. God, you've met each of us and we've gotten to have a personal encounter with you, and you've given us your Spirit, Lord. And God, thank you just for the ministry that each of these staff are having here at camp, but also on their college campuses. And God, we pray over them and God, just over this generation of leaders, that we would be bold in our faith, that we would remember that it is worth it to count the cost for you, God, and to carry our cross and to daily live for you. God, would you do more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine, all for your name and your glory through these students. God, we love you and we need you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit CanacookPodcast.com. And for more information about Canacook, you can visit Canacook.com.